Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In a week where so much has happened, one man stands alone, poised to tackle it all and take your calls. Armed with just his wit and a stack of stats, he embarks on a quest that will require 4 hours of intense concentration, telephonic communication, and the mockery of jockery. This is the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. You know, we've been talking about the NBA MVP conversation in the first hour of the show, whether it shows that the NBA is more talented than it's ever been. You can continue to weigh in on that at 855-212-4227. Going to get to a fun topic involving professional wrestling coming up in a bit at 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. But wanted to spend a couple of minutes on some stories out of the college sports world that aren't exactly the most fun to talk about, or, you know, the most heartwarming, let's put it that way. One is what's going on with Kansas and Les Miles, and I'm willing to say this about that situation. He is not going to be returning as the football coach there. He's been placed on administrative leave as the university conducts a full review to determine the appropriate next steps for his future. To me, that is the, all right, while we investigate this and confirm what's been reported out there so we don't act hastily, but we do want to distance ourselves from this guy at the moment before it is actually determined that he will not be returning. A report released on Thursday on behalf of LSU showed that this is when Miles was at LSU, showed that a 2013 internal investigation at the school accused Miles of inappropriate behavior toward female students, including allegations that he contacted some on Facebook and text messages. Was meeting up with them on campus alone, and one accusation that he kissed one of them. The report did not find he had any sexual relationships with any of the women, and he denies the kissing part of it. Says he didn't do anything wrong and that he was mentoring young women at the university. I don't know exactly what his, you know, as the football, what his mentoring was or that he's saying, but you know, they had a lawyer come out with a statement saying this should put an end to the baseless, inaccurate media reports that he engaged in inappropriate touching of an athletic department student. Now, there's also another report that came out from a separate law firm that addressed LSU for not reporting incidents like this. And in that report, it showed that the former athletic director at LSU had recommended that Miles be fired in 2013 as the coach. I'm not saying, you know, I don't know what he did or didn't do. You know, I want to be fair to every individual. I'm just telling you what I think is going to happen here. And what I think is going to happen here is that he will no longer be the coach of Kansas, given the information that's out in the public and given the PR for the school. And you always factor in results. He's 3-18 in two seasons there. including 0-9 in 2020. One Big 12 win in those two seasons. That's coming over Texas Tech in 2019. Kansas hasn't won more than three games in a season since 2009. So I'm not casting judgment without being more informed myself. But it doesn't look good on the surface. And when I also, you know, delve into every other aspect of it and the big picture piece, especially when you have him LSU recommending firing him in 2013 and them distancing themselves Kansas now, I just can't imagine that he winds up returning as the head coach there. I think it's just a matter of time. The other story out of college basketball, or college sports, this one out of college basketball, was from Creighton, where the men's basketball coach, Greg McDermott, he was suspended following some comments he made to his team. And this was one where he tried to get out in front of it, because the first I learned of the comments that he made was from him and his apology. You know, he apologized before it wasn't one of those situations where it got out and then he apologized. He apologized, and that's how he got out, how it got out. And what he said was he it was after a loss to Xavier last week. He said to the team, "Guys, we got to stick together. We need both feet in. I need everybody to stay on the plantation. I can't have anybody leave the plantation." And then he says he immediately apologized to the team, realizing what he said in the moment, I suppose. Obviously, the use of the word plantation, the analogy with plantation, is what was the problem here. I mean, to me, the first word, if you're like saying, you hear the word plantation, what's the next word you think of? To me, it is slavery. The next word I think of is slavery after plantation. There is a connotation around that word, that term, especially, obviously, dealing, you know, with black athletes. And what puzzles me about it is just like how your brain goes that way. Like, I just would never, the what he's trying to say is obvious, right? We got to stick together. We're all in this together, you know. I just have never really heard anybody invoke the word plantation to make that point. Can't leave the plantation. And it's puzzling to me how anyone's brain would go to that word, to that analogy in that case. Now, I think in any situation like this, what you really care about is intent, right? Like, where is this coming from? Is this a stupid mistake that somehow he would use that word? Somehow he would make that comparison, that analogy? Or, you know, is that the way he thinks and talks? Like, that's, I think, what most people look for when you're being a rational person about this and not just trying to, you know, have the you know, biggest, quickest condemnation or just defending everybody. What, you know, the extremes that happen online. I think for a rational person, like, okay, who is this guy? And I don't know. I mean, the people that probably are the best to talk to about this are the players, to be honest. They're around him all the time. And they're the ones who heard that, and I'm sure plenty were hurt and disturbed by that. The assistant coach came out and put a statement out and said as much, that he was as hurt by the comment. But if I'm giving McDermott complete benefit of the doubt, I'll say this. I mean, he apologized very quickly. He says he apologized in the moment, which is something someone would do if they realized immediately what they said was wrong and that that is not what their intent was. The players, he offered to resign. And the players did not want him to resign, even if they're, you know, were taken aback by it, which, I'm sure they were, because I would be. I mean, if somebody said that in any work circumstance, in any life circumstance, I'd be like, really? And then he also accepted his suspension, because I think he probably realized it could be a lot worse. And he said, I made a mistake and I own it. Mistakes come with consequences, and I accept and agree with the suspension. And given, you know, if the players do indeed want him to return as the coach, then I think this has been handled appropriately by Creighton. Apology, hopefully sincere. Hopefully the intent was not there. Suspension, you know, just to say we are addressing this. This is not just going to go by without any recognition, without, you know, any official reaction, consequences. And then, you know, if that's the end of it and he comes back, I think if that's how the players feel, then that is the appropriate handling. So I'm not here to criticize any of the handling of these situations, in fact, or else they would be bigger scandals. I just thought both were relevant stories and worth discussing here on the show, if at least for a few minutes. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Paul in Washington, D.C. Paul, you're up next here on the Robin Lundberg Show. What's up, Paul?
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Okay, so listening to what you're saying here, I'm not trying to defend anybody or pick any sides, but when I heard you say that he used the term stay on the plantation, the first thing my mind jumped to was the normal catchphrase, stay on the reservation. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe in his mind or in his subconscious, with in light of all the changes, as far as racism is concerned with the name Washington football team, maybe he was trying to avoid using a term that denotes the Native American. You understand what I'm saying? And maybe
sure,
plantation was the first thing that came to mind, and he didn't realize what it was going to sound like until it came out.
Well, yeah, and to his credit, if we're giving him the benefit of the doubt, like I said, he may have immediately realized what it sounded like, but that doesn't take it away, right? That doesn't put it back in your mouth, because when you know, I would hear, I'm not a black guy or a black person, obviously,
right.
There's not that history for me, but I hear that word and I cringe, because that's the first thought that goes into my mind, right?
Sure.
You know, slavery and the like. So you could understand how the players were hurt. You can understand why the school would need to address it. But that's why I said, if in fact the players are okay with him returning, and if in fact they believe that the intent wasn't in the wrong place and it was a stupid misspeak, and you know that they accept his apology, then I do think the handling then is correct. Suspension, acknowledgement, return, move past it. And I don't think that's, you know, too, like you said, you don't want to go too extreme in either way. I don't think that handling is too extreme in either way either.
Sure. And the players that play for him and that are around him on an everyday basis, I think, are in a better place to make that type of call.
100%.
You know, whether it was something vindictive or something spiteful that he was saying out of the side of his mouth, or if it was an honest mistake. So.
100%. Because I think what we're always looking for, and I appreciate the call, is, you know, what you're looking for then is, we all know it was bad, right? Like, I don't think that's up for debate. It's not something, you know, one should use that term, given the historical connotation. So the next thing you want to know is, what's the intent behind it? And I'm in no place to make that judgment, and no one would be in a better place to make that judgment than the players. So if the players are okay with how it's been handled, then so am I. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Billy in Toronto. Billy, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Billy?
Hi, Robin. I'm just going to actually parrot what was just said. I mean, exactly. If the players have no problem with it, they love the coach, and they said, okay, coach, you screwed up.
It's not that they don't have a problem with it, because I've seen that they had a problem with it, but if they're able to move past it. Go ahead.
Right. I agree 100%. It comes – you know, Robin, I always go back to the Cleveland Indians and the Redskins, and I just always wonder why it took so damn long to figure this thing out. We're just figuring it out right now. The same thing. If you had went to them back then and said, look, we want to get all the Native Americans and Native Canadians together, let's end this once and for all. What do you guys want? And it comes down to you. If you feel that we were using your name out of respect for how tough you are and how much you fight and stuff like that, this is why we use it. Let's face it, Robin. When you're gonna brand yourself, you're not gonna put a negative name on your team. You're not gonna sell any merchandise, and your team will probably have to fold. They did it with the intentions of respect, but it comes down to the Native American and Indians. And if they didn't like it, you got to cancel it. And this should have been done, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago. It shouldn't have happened today. That's all I got. I hope it works out for everybody. Thanks, Robin.
Sure. I don't like using the term cancel because it's triggering or what have you. And I feel like people are way too sensitive and overreact to so many things. At the same time, there are people who will defend any deplorable action or statement or whatever in the name of preventing cancel culture. I mean, I think we need nuance in society. The term that was the name of the Washington football team, that to me was just common sense. You had to change that. Common sense. Regardless of – I remember asking my dad, and this is not me tooting my own horn or trying to look self-righteous or whatnot. I remember asking my dad when I was a kid, how's that okay? Like, if you replaced the color red with a different color of skin beforehand, how would it be received? I mean, it's just a duh. That was a duh. And I think the problem that you face with, you know, the Native American community in this instance is that due to the history of this country, there are not that many Native Americans remaining. It was genocide committed against the Native American people here. And therefore, you know, I think one of the reasons that you know, was able to stick around so long. And look, you're always going to have people that don't have a problem with it versus people who do have a problem with it. Everybody's allowed their own opinion. You know, like I never tell. It's like we said about Zlatan last week with LeBron, when Zlatan said, you know, politics divide, sports unite, and he didn't want LeBron talking about real issues. You're allowed to think that, Zlatan. You just can't tell other people how to feel and think. That's the insulting part. You cannot like that someone is speaking out about issues. That doesn't mean they can't feel differently than you, and vice versa. You know, that's why I was with Zlatan. I was like, if he had responded to something LeBron said or did specifically, it would have made a lot more sense to me. If he said, I disagree with LeBron on this, okay. But it just came out of nowhere. It was a blanket statement. You can't tell the other people that. That's not your, you know, place. No one, I can't tell. If someone listening right now thinks exactly what Zlatan thinks, you're allowed to believe that. You're allowed to think that. You're allowed to say, I don't want my politics mixed with my sports or whatever, serious issues mixed with sports. It's not my cup of tea. Okay. But it does not give you permission to then say, you must feel how I feel. Right? And, you know, unfortunately, with a lot of issues, you know, there generally there's advocacy groups that are big that push things, and with Native Americans, there just aren't as many Native Americans anymore, which is a sad reality of the history of the country. But yeah, that's lots. I found myself back at that topic, but that's what was so puzzling to me. Why he would make those comments? What was the point? You know, what was he attempting to address? It's not like LeBron said or did something recently. And again, you're entitled to not want to speak out. You're entitled to not think sports are the proper platform for that. But you're not entitled to tell other people that that is the case for them. And I think that is what gets lost a lot of times. 855-212-4227, because I would say Zlatan did more dividing than LeBron here by calling out LeBron for nothing at the moment, because he's the one that put that into the news cycle, into the headlines. 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. You can weigh in on any of those, you know, more serious topics we just touched. Going to get to a lighthearted and fun one out of the world of professional wrestling coming up in a bit as well. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
Stay in touch with Robin via Twitter. His handle is at Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Z Blevins 555 tweets in, love your show and perspective on sports and miscellaneous topics. Come to the Dallas market. He's giving me a job offer in Dallas. if it's official, I'll consider it. I appreciate you weighing in. You can send in tweets like that. They don't have to just be complimentary. You can give your thoughts on the topic of the day or the topic at the moment at Robin Lundberg. That's RobinLundberg. Or, of course, you can call in to the show, 855-212-4227. You know, we're talking about, well, we've talked about a lot so far already on the show, the NBA MVP race, whether that shows that the NBA is more talented than it's ever been, which is a point I make oftentimes, but a point that I feel is correct. Spent a little time on some of the, I don't know if they're scandals necessarily, but stories out of college sports, one where I think Kansas and Les Miles will be parting ways sooner rather than later. He's already on leave from the university. And the situation with Greg McDermott, the coach of Creighton, given his comments and apology, where he's been suspended, but it looks like he will return to the team. And I said if his players are okay with that, then that is a sensible handling of that situation to me. But I did want to delve into also Zlatan and what he said about LeBron and how you shouldn't talk about anything other than sports if you're a sports person, which is silly because only people in sports get that, really, right? Like, do other professions get that? If you're, you know, let me know if you're, you know, a plumber, if anyone's ever told you to stick to plumbing, or a teacher, if anyone's ever told you to stick to teaching, or whatever profession you might have, if that's ever happened. Because it's like a strange thing to say to somebody. And no one ever gets mad when you give a movie review, right? No one's ever like, stick to sports when you give a movie review. It's only when you're talking about something of actual weight. And again, you're allowed to feel that, you know, sports and that don't mix, or that athletes shouldn't, or that you personally don't want to speak out, that you're allowed to feel that way. You just can't tell other people what to think. But like I said, I wanted to get to something a little lighter on the program here. And as I'm wont to do when this world collides with the sports world, I like to bring up a little professional wrestling here and there because I think it's an excellent form of entertainment. I very much enjoy pro wrestling. And I feel like most people have a connection to it at some point in their life, right? Whether it's that they're a fan right now, whether that their kids are fans right now, whether it's nostalgia from when they were a fan as a kid. Just, you know, at some point in their life, there's generally an intersection, I think, especially with sports fans. And the world of sports and pro wrestling have collided once again, and that was because Shaquille O'Neal was thrown through some tables I don't know if everybody saw this or not, but on AEW, which is the company that is attempting to compete with the WWE, Cody Rhodes hit Shaq near the ropes, and Shaq fell out of the ring through some tables, like a legit bump. You know, Shaq has been criticized of late. He's taken some criticism. He showed he could take a bump because that was a decent fall and through some tables. And, you know, for somebody his size, his age, his notoriety, respect for taking a fall like that. And it got me to thinking, what's the best celebrity, or I guess in this case, most of the time, it's sports-related professional wrestling moment, right? I mean, there are plenty historic. I mean, you could Shaq going through the table could be on the list at this point.
No, that's absurd.
It's on the list.
Shaq going through the table? If you're a pro wrestling fan, how you get excited about people going through tables anymore is beyond me. I mean, you have people going through tables at least once a show, and AEW is even worse with that. AEW has like 2-3 times a show they have people going through tables. How people get excited for that anymore, I have no idea. It's the same thing over and over again.
And that was executed
so poorly with Shaq going over and standing way too early over on that side of the ring where the tables were. So you knew that bump was coming from a mile away. A mile away, you knew that was happening.
Well, of course. That's more for a casual. And I don't think it's Shaq. That's not the point. It's just the entryway to the conversation. I think when people are impressed by that, because people don't typically, non-professional wrestling fans aren't seeing people go through tables all the time. So seeing someone of Shaq's stature and notoriety just crash through some tables, it stands out to people. But there have been so many, you know, celebrity or athlete professional wrestling moments. I mean, even in recent times, you had Pat McAfee and what he did. What was that, NXT TakeOver? Wrestled a full like real match and was doing real moves. And then you've got, you know, the gimmicky stuff like Pete Rose coming out and being chokeslammed by Kane. You've got the Big Show against Floyd Mayweather, right? That was one. Lawrence Taylor fought Bam Bam Bigelow at WrestleMania. Ronda Rousey's pro wrestling debut. There are plenty.
Karl Malone and Diamond Dallas Page had a tag team match against Dennis Rodman and Hulk Hogan. Dennis Rodman really wasn't much to look at, but Karl Malone did it very well, I thought. He did a good job.
Dennis Rodman left the playoffs, right? Or left the Bulls during it was in the Last Dance to join the NWO. But there is one sports professional wrestling moment that will never be topped. Never. So I just listed off a bunch of them. You can weigh in with your favorite as well, if you'd like, at 855-212-4227. But I will tell you the one sports professional wrestling collision moment that will never be topped coming up.
He knows his sports, and he's also a professor of pop culture. Here's Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I was using Shaquille O'Neal going through some tables as the impetus to discuss the greatest athlete / celebrity pro wrestling moment. Anthony was insulted at the idea of Shaq being on the list. It's a long list. Like I said, Pete Rose and Kane, LT and Bam Bam Bigelow, Dennis Rodman joining the NWO, Pat McAfee at NXT TakeOver as of late, Big Show and Floyd Mayweather. Muhammad Ali had a pro wrestling foray. Mr. T, way back when. There's just so many instances. But to me, there is one moment that will never be topped. And that is Stone Cold Steve Austin and Mike Tyson. If you did not live through that in the moment, the energy is almost impossible to describe, the energy of that moment. You know, when I was in high school, Austin 316 was like as big as anything. Austin and then The Rock, like that Attitude Era, D-Generation X, was bigger than anything else that was going on. I remember after like Monday night, it wasn't Monday Night Football that people were talking about on Tuesday. It was Monday Night Raw. And the energy of that moment when Stone Cold confronted Mike Tyson and told him he could beat him every day of the week and twice on Sunday. And if he didn't understand him, he's got a little sign language for him and flipped him the double bird in his face before getting shoved. I mean, Stone Cold was so hot at that moment that people actually were like, who would win, Mike Tyson or Stone Cold Steve Austin? You know, about one of the best boxers who ever lived. With a, you know, obviously I'm sure Stone Cold's a real-life tough guy, but he's not a trained fighter like that. And that's how over he was at that moment. And then that led to the whole matchup with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania where Mike Tyson was the special referee and Mike Tyson was, like, involved with DX in the lead-up. The energy of that moment, I don't think anything will ever top it. Anthony, do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, again, you know, he didn't actually wrestle, but yeah, no, that was obviously, yeah, that was a great moment in the history of the WWE.
I don't think that will ever be topped. I remember being so hyped when I saw that. Just that energy was incredible. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Zach in Columbia, South Carolina. Zach, you're up next on the Robin Lundberg Show. What's going on, Zach?
Not a whole lot. Thanks for having me this morning.
You got it.
But yeah, calling to definitely agree that it's that entire Mike Tyson moment, like you were saying, just how energetic everything was, the arena that night. It's actually a pretty popular WrestleMania theory, if you want to call it that, that Tyson actually made contact with Shawn Michaels with that right hook and kind of had him seeing stars for a few moments. Just seeing that all kind of transpire, definitely for athlete making the jump into wrestling, that's probably the most memorable one for sure.
And Shawn Michaels, that was his last match for a long time, wasn't it? He didn't come back for years. I think his back was all messed up.
2002 he came back.
But what was that, WrestleMania 14 I'm talking about? So was that 98?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, 98.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're talking he was out of commission for years. Shawn Michaels was, but
yeah, that's right. And just kind of based on documentaries and heck, even Michael's own words himself and some of the books he's written, he had a whole lot of backstage heat at the time and really kind of needed to get out of the business just from injuries piling up and just kind of bad backstage politics. So yeah, when Tyson laid that right hook, I mean, it kind of just made WWE explode into WWF at the time, explode into the stratosphere. I don't ever think it's been more popular than it was at that very moment.
Oh, I don't think so either. Stone Cold and The Rock, it was never more popular. Shawn Michaels, to me, is the best wrestler I've ever seen. Like, he, you know, I see these guys talk about all the time he could have a great match with a broomstick or something. Was that the same event, Anthony, you would know this, where The Undertaker supposedly was, like, playing watching over in case Shawn Michaels didn't actually drop the title to Stone Cold?
What are you talking about?
The WrestleMania 14, the Tyson.
Oh,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I believe I saw The Undertaker say, like,
yeah, that was
he wanted to make sure that Michaels actually dropped the title to Austin because
yep,
they were worried
right.
he wouldn't do it. Let's go to Christian in Alabama. Christian, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Christian?
How you doing, Robin? I love your show, especially when you're addressing the controversies. I mean, honestly, your voice is like the light at the end of the tunnel that keeps us all honest and straightforward to the truth.
Like, well, that's a very nice compliment. Thank you.
You got to be 100% with you. When it comes, and honestly, yeah, your question was perfect. But when it comes to the whole wrestling moment, mine happens to be off camera. Of course, I knew you was gonna see Mike Tyson and Stone Cold. Mine has to be through social media. When the whole WWE had controversy when it comes to their Saudi shows, because they're still doing business with Saudi Arabia after they basically killed that journalist. And so Tony Khan was basically tweeting about I guess how much better his wrestling promotion was than WWE. And then the best people on social media for WWE clap back is Randall Keith or Orton. or if he responds with as long as his family's old bad business practices, as I guess as a way of saying hypocrisy, and then Honeycomb responds back to him with saying, just like a bunch of people going on a plane to Saudi Arabia, golden. Bit of hanging fruit, but it's there. And I'll argue, though, with your producer that, and AAW did perhaps present some actually new ways of doing tables, because we're opening the AAW show, the first show ever. They basically, somebody put somebody through a glass table, and it's entertaining.
Well, look, I mean, I think I remember John Oliver did a thing about the nature of WWE's employment contracts and how, you know, health insurance is a big problem and all this stuff and essentially them working as contractors. But he let in saying, like, who doesn't like somebody going through a date? It was just, like, objectively entertaining, even if it's, you know, dangerous. So don't try that at home. Like, they used to run those promos before the events. Don't try it at home. And there are certain moves that are more dangerous to try it at home than others, let me tell you. Pile drivers. Definitely don't do pile drivers. I don't even know if they do those in the WWE anymore because of the neck risk. The pedigree is not one. Triple H's finishing move that you should try at home or perform on anyone else. Like, you know, you could do a clothesline or some of the submission holds or the RKO. You mentioned Randy Orton. The RKO is that my son gives me the RKO on a consistent basis. And Randy Orton gave Soldier Boy the RKO on Twitter earlier this week. That came out of nowhere because Soldier Boy had said something about how the rap game is like professional wrestling. It's fake. And Randy Orton took umbrage with the term fake, as pro wrestlers do oftentimes. And I get it because it's not fake. You know, you don't fake going through tables. You don't fake taking the punishment that these guys take. You don't fake what they do. Is it predetermined? Yes, it is predetermined. It is not a sport because it is predetermined. It is not a legitimate competition. We all know that. But I could argue that those guys are athletes, and I certainly would not call what they do fake. Let's go to Jay in D.C. Jay, you're up next here on the Robin Lundberg Show. What's going on, Jay?
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Real quick, you just sparked something in my brain. Yeah, wrestling on the WWE and NWO and all the other corporate organizations that came out over the years. It's not fake. It's choreographed heavily, but it's definitely not fake. But let me get to my comment. Okay, how I see the Les Miles situation is older guy, and he should have learned this lesson the first time years ago. Older guy, wrong times, wrong place, wrong age group to try to shoot your shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to make light of it, but if you are 20 plus, 15 plus years older than some group of women that you are quote-unquote mentoring, that's the wrong setting to try to shoot your shot to get a date or a hookup or anything. I'm pretty sure online dating for his age group at that time was a thing back in 2013 and probably slightly before that. Then if you didn't learn your lesson back then at LSU and then have it resurface again now, you definitely, somebody in your circle should have been like, hey, man, you might want to stop trying to get at these young ladies and, you know, just do your job, be a mentor, be a coach to your basketball team. I mean, excuse me, I'm not sure who he coaches, but to your team.
The football team.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. To be fair, the allegations are, at least as far as I know, all from the time period at LSU. So that is the timeline.
Okay.
But another thing that I think you have to.
Another
thing that I think you have to. I understand what you're saying. Another thing I think you have to enter into the conversation as to why it would be problematic, aside from just what you were saying, is the power dynamics here. I mean,
right,
when you're the head football coach at LSU, who's bigger than you at that school, right? Like, who is in a more powerful position? So there is a level of
leverage
and intimidation and all that comes into play. In the other than just saying that, like, oh, I find that conduct sort of gross or sort of weird, there's the power dynamic that would come into play too, that it makes it further problematic. And that's why he's not going to come back to Kansas.
Oh, no,
I
mean, no.
I'd be stunned.
Yeah, I don't think anywhere. Also, real quick, it doesn't sound like any of the allegations or accusations that he was being overly aggressive, just super persistent in the wrong situation. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure. I mean, like, there are degrees to everything, right? And I will, like I said, I want to be fair as well, because I don't think it, you know, I'm not familiar enough with this story. I can't, claim that I was, following his career that closely. I'm reading what I've seen, in the news. I'm reading the reports about this, and therefore, you don't want to, I don't want to cast too much judgment until I have all of the information on exactly how I feel about the conduct. But, I think you and I just went over why it would be problematic. And then there's the 2013 recommendation that LSU should fire him, and, the PR hit that Kansas would take by bringing him back, and the fact that they haven't performed well. Like, you take that combination of things, it's just it is not worth trying to defend that, or trying to defend whatever took place, even if whatever took place isn't on the one extreme of something. Again, there is nuance to conversations, but I obviously think these things surfaced, and I don't think Les Miles or Kansas is going to be able to put them back. And I would be shocked if he is back. The thing I'm most willing to say is he won't be coaching that team again. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. Speaking of nuance, to something less serious, more an actual on-the-field topic, one subject that I think has not been covered with any nuance is Ben Roethlisberger's return to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think people are being a little extreme with Big Ben, and I'll tell you what I mean coming up next. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.